We're continuing studying in the book of John. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to the book of John. Gospel according to St. John is the way the King James has it up. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four gospel accounts, we refer to them. Four different accounts telling different things from different views about Jesus. The book of Matthew, the book of Luke begin their record with genealogies shortly after the beginning. And then they tell of the birth of a child. We're reading God's Word in Matthew chapter 1. We're introduced there to Mary and to Joseph. Young couple going from the city of Nazareth to their hometown of Bethlehem. An unmarried couple. And yet Joseph are letting Mary is with child. An angel in a dream tells Joseph that this baby, which is conceived in Mary, is of the Holy Ghost. Further tells him, he shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1, 20 and 21. Matthew then quotes a passage from Isaiah 7, verse 14. He says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. If we go to Luke's account, Luke tells us of shepherds who are abiding in the fields watching over their flocks by night. And an angel appears to these shepherds and tells them, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This little baby born 2,000 years ago, the city of Bethlehem, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus Christ the Lord, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And yet when we come to the book of John, the book of John doesn't start at the same place. The book of John doesn't start with the birth of Christ. You know, if we're telling the story about an individual today, we many times would begin at their birth. That's when they began their life here on earth. And yet John begins far earlier than the birth of Jesus. And yet he speaks of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, the darkness comprehended it not. And this verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. John begins his count in the very beginning. The beginning of the world. So Jesus existed then. He was God. He was there in the beginning. He created all things. And yet, when we look at the book of Matthew and the book of Luke, they begin their account with the birth here on this earth of Jesus Christ. This was just the beginning of His human life on this earth. He had lived throughout eternity in the form of God. And He now, according to Matthew and Luke, takes on human form. And as John says in John verse 14 of the first chapter, that Word, God, became flesh and He dwelt among us. In John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, John explains a little bit about why he writes what he writes. He's guided by the Holy Spirit, of course, in his writing. But he says that there are many other signs and wonders that Jesus did in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in his book. And many other things he later says that were done by Jesus that he did not He did not put pen to paper and put all those things down. He said there wouldn't be enough room in all the books of the world. But he said that the signs that Jesus did in the presence of the disciples, which were written in his book, the book of John, are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Say, he has overall purpose for his book, for the entire 21 chapters that make up the book of John, has to do with proving and showing evidence that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and thereby we develop our faith on something that is solid, that is proven, and that has evidence to back it up. As we studied last week, John makes some claims in his book, and we'll be studying those claims, some of them today, some of them later. He says, in the beginning was the Word. That's fairly deep thought. In the beginning was the Word. And primarily, I think it was spoken for the Greek culture, for their background and their understanding, especially their understanding there in the first century. But to the Greek mind, the word, capital W-O-R-D, or logos, was the controlling reason. The Greeks sought after knowledge. And so Jesus was presented as the Word. That the reasoning that the Greeks ascribed to gods, kept a little letter, a G on their God, or a God. And so John uses that particular language. Other writers would use the term Messiah more, or Jesus Christ more, based upon their readership. And perhaps more Jews were reading, say, for instance, the book of Matthew. But to these Greeks, he began by stating that Jesus was the Word. And he would preach the Word. He was the Word that God presented in the first century. He would preach the Word. And the people would be guided by the Word. The apostles later would be guided to all truth and guided to those truths of Jesus Christ that the Father had sent him to deliver. Those truths would be delivered then to the whole world of the first century. And so to an extent, he is the Word, the gospel, all bound up in his life here on this earth. But the Word was with God, John says in John 1:2. He was on an equality with God. We read from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. The Word was God. He was the very essence of God. That's difficult to understand. We get into a discussion about the Trinity of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But they're all God. So anytime we speak of Jesus or Christ, we're talking about God. When we speak about the Lord, we're talking about God. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about God. When we say our Father which is in heaven, we're directing our prayers to God. Difficult for us to understand the three in one. But that's the way we are presented our God. And that's the way God presents himself to us. John made another claim other than the deity of Jesus. He claims that the world was created by the Word, by Jesus. Of course, we know that in the beginning, God spoke. What did he say? Let there be light. Well, light didn't respond, right? No, light responded. Every time he said, let there be, he spoke, something came into existence. Man does not understand that. We have to go to the test tube. We have to go to science. We have to go to so many things in order to prove things. And yet there's so many things going around about us, out in the skies, out in the universe, that we do not understand. We try to explain, and many times scientists do explain. But it's based on how God has put things together, how he has created things so that things would continue. And we were thinking this morning, I mentioned that if the sun was just a little bit closer to us, we would have some new books put out on global warming. If the only globe that'd be warm enough would be the sun. If you pushed it farther away, those ice caps would get bigger instead of getting smaller, as many have claimed. So God keeps that sun at a certain distance. That moon at a certain distance. We're talking about how far we could jump if we were on the moon. Jerry and I both could dunk a basketball on the moon. See? We'd have no problem. He outruns them now, according to his story on the, you know, on the basketball games he plays with these guys that he hustles, you know, and that's what but anyway, he's a good basketball player. But these things stay going. The book of Hebrews chapter 1 says that in Christ, that in God, all things consist. All things keep going as they have been going. They were created, and guess who understands what's going on in this world with creation? Well, guess who understands what's going on in the human mind and how we live and how we act? Jesus came to this earth. He came here in the flesh, John said. He became flesh and he dwelt, he tabernacled among us. So that when we would go to God in prayer, we couldn't say, God, you don't understand. If we ever said that, Jesus is right there saying, God, I understand. Father, I understand because I was there. I've been through what they've been through. So that's what this is all about as we study this book. So we can be further grounded in the truth that Jesus was God. Yes, he became the Son of God. He became a human being. That's difficult to understand with our finite minds. But we need to get a grasp of on that. And we need to understand and be able to say more than, well, that's just what the Bible says. We need to say it because the Bible says it, but we need to have a faith, a strong faith in that particular fact from the Bible. So Jesus claimed, or John claims in his book, that the world was created by the Word, that all things were created by Him, and without Him was not anything created that was made. In John chapter 1 and verse 4, John tells about Jesus' relationship to life. In Him it was life, and the life was the light of men. And also Jesus in John is spoken of and talked about His relationship to the light. In John 1 and verse 5 it says, the light shineth in darkness, the darkness did not comprehend it or comprehended it not. Jesus is spoken of as the light of the world. We're said to be, told to be, that we need to be rather the light of the world. And that others may see us and glorify God because of our works. So Jesus' relationship to darkness can be looked at as a twofold relationship. He challenges evil. Jesus challenges Satan. He challenged Satan when he came to this earth. And Jesus is a victor over evil, a victor over Satan. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning along about verse 14 to the end of the chapter. Today in our lesson, we're going to look at verses 6 through 14 of John 1, primarily at the phrase, and the Word became flesh. Let's read those verses. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Well, John is talking about this. He's not talking about himself here. He's talking about John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, who was the forerunner, the one who was to prepare the way for Christ. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, speaking of Christ, that all men through him, that is Christ, might believe. He, that is John the Baptist, was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness, or to bear testimony, or to introduce, so to speak, that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now John is, as at a point in time of his writing, looking back. He does not deal with things chronologically, and according to day or whatever in his book necessarily. So he's looking back from the time he was an apostle and the time that Jesus taught. And he said he was in the world, speaking of Christ. The world was made by him and the world knew him not. He came into his own and his own received him not. John was there to testify of that. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The gospel of John is also called the gospel of belief. The gospel of belief. The word believe or belief or believeth, those words are mentioned numerous times throughout this book. Those who believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of men, but of God. And then verse 14. He says, and the Word was made flesh. The Word, the God that was in the beginning, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Speaking of that baby that started in the city of Bethlehem, went on into the country of Egypt and then back up to Nazareth. It was kept by his parents and until he was age 30, when it was time for him to begin his ministry. He became flesh and he dwelt among us. There were many questions, I'm sure, by his parents. There were questions by others. But he became flesh and dwelt among us. And then there's a parenthetical expression. Says, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. John was an eyewitness. A parenthetical expression used would suggest that it's a phrase added for understanding. But says concerning Jesus or the Word, he was full of grace and truth. Then down in verse 17, just so we key in on the fact that he is talking about Jesus, says, for the law was given by Moses. Okay, we know that from the Old Testament, don't we? But he says, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. That was his purpose. His purpose was to come to this earth to do what no one else had ever done. To show God to man. You know, the Greeks, the Gentiles, those around about many places where Paul went and preached, they had their gods, but they never had one of them to come down and to be born and then to live among them, to experience what they experienced, to go through what they had gone through. Nothing like that had ever been done and heard of. So no man has seen God any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the Father, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Speaking about Jesus Christ, through whom grace and truth came, in verse 17. Verse 1 through 4, as we mentioned, of the book of John, chapter 1, it speaks about Jesus being in the beginning, that he was God, that he was with God, that he was God, that he created all things, that in him was the light, life of men. Verses 6 through 9 of this chapter summarize, says that John the Apostle wrote about another John. We'll be studying more about him, John the Baptist, sent from God, a witness of the light, but not the light. He, not the Christ, not the one who will illuminate the world of its sin. Verses 10 through 13, John says Jesus was accepted by some, but he was rejected by others. And this happens today just as well as it did back then. Many read about Jesus, many hear about Jesus, many accept him based upon what the Bible says, many reject him based upon what the Bible says. Jesus had that to happen in his lifetime. Jesus would speak, he would perform miracles, and still there were people who would go away who were unbelievers. And you say, how could that happen? Well, it happened. We have the same miracles available to us. We have them recorded in the book. And so John is writing about them. Said, let me tell you the story of Jesus, and let's see if you accept him. Let's see if you'll accept him based upon clear evidence and clear proof that was presented to us in the first century. And there were lots of witnesses. He said, there were lots of people who were there to refute what I'm saying, if what I'm saying is an untruth. The Word was made flesh. You know, there are many in the religious world today who don't believe that the Lord began from human birth, like all mankind, and had been pre-existent as God, as the Son of God. Many believe that he came to this earth, yes, or that there was one who was born who evolved into the divine. I don't know whether you've heard of that belief or not. But there's some that say that. Some say that Jesus' human body was not a real body. It was not a real body. Others say after his resurrection, his body was not a real body. And yet if we read about John, about Thomas rather, doubting Thomas, Thomas wanted to see the nail prints in his hands, didn't he? He wanted to see the pierced sides. And Jesus said, John, here I am, you know, touch me. That was right before the writer John said that many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written. John refutes both of these statements that I've made as far as these beliefs that some people have. If we couple John chapter 1 verse 1 with chapter 1 verse 14, we see that verse 1 says that Jesus was God, deity. And verse 14 says that Jesus became human. He was a man. So he was both. I may not understand that fully. You may not understand that fully. But that is something that was a fact. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Some of us as Christians emphasize the deity of Jesus, that Jesus is divine. And we think of that divinity and we forget that Jesus was fully a man also. And so when we get into pain, when we get into problems, when we get into any type of difficulty, we don't think that there's anybody that understands. But God understands and Jesus understands. And furthermore, as Peter says in 1 Peter 5, Jesus and God care. So we have one that not only cares, but that understands. That understands. You know, a lot of people care about other people, but not as many people understand what other people are going through. We have to go through a number of things in order to get to the point where we understand. The Word became flesh. And since we are flesh, since we're flesh and bones, we have various fears. Among those, we fear death. We fear death. Some of us maybe fear it less than others. But Jesus shared with us his nature, the nature of a human, so that he might relieve us of this terrible fear, which claims all mankind. Note in 1 Corinthians 15, 55, 57, Paul asked this question. He says, "Oh death, where is thy sting?" So we need not ask that anymore. Oh grave, where is thy victory? Jesus says, or John, Paul says, there's no victory in the grave. The grave will not hold that body. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He says there's victory through Christ. And Christ came here to be victor over Satan and to be victor over sin. He was tempted in all things like as we are, and yet he was without sin. He was human. He was not the reason he was able to overcome sin and not fall temptation was not because he was divine. It was because he was human. He had the power of choice just as you and I do. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted of Satan, he had a choice. He did not say, you know, "Well, I'm God, Satan. You just better get out of here." You know? And sometimes I'm afraid we maybe think that. He wasn't tempted, we may think. He wasn't tempted like as we are. He was the Son of God. What about in the Garden of Gethsemane? And he's praying there because he knows what? Pretty soon, he's going to be crucified on the cross. He's going to be beaten. Prior to that, he's going to be betrayed. He understands that. He prays to God to let that pass from him. Don't let it happen. But you say, he's the Son of God. There's no way he's going to feel that way. But he did feel that way. He felt that way because he was human. He was human. And yet he says, not my will. He had a will. Not my will, but thy will be done. A choice. He exercised that choice and he chose to do the will of the Father. He was human, though he was God. But he was human at that time. Had human characteristics. Had human emotions. Hebrews 4:14 says, touch with the feeling of our infirmities. Touch with the feeling of our infirmities. And we say, nobody knows how I feel. Yeah, somebody does know. Somebody does know. Our prayers to God the Father are uttered through the name of the Son of Jesus, His Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, by His authority. And He's our intermediary. He is our mediator. He is our go-between. John says in 1 John 2, he's our advocate. He acts just as a lawyer would act before God as we pray to the Father. Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the Greek, the word dwelt meant to tabernacle or to tent. You remember the Old Testament? The Jews had their tabernacle, place where they worship, and they had tents in which they lived. And so he says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He tabernacled here. He was in this body of the flesh. John goes on to say, we the disciples beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. So John is telling us that God's presence was among men in bodily form. He ate. Why would he get hungry? What does God eat up in heaven? We don't hear about God eating anything. He was on this earth. He got hungry. He ate. He got thirsty. He drank. He conversed with other people. He talked with other people. He was socially mingling with other people. He got tired. He slept. He got weary when he came to the Sychar in Samaria at the well, and he sat down right on the well. He was weary. He prayed. He needed prayer just like we need prayer. He's human. He suffered on that cross. He had emotions similar to you and to me. He looked down from that cross, and though he was hungry, though he was thirsty because of the blood leaving his body, he looked down and saw his mother and saw John and made sure that his mother was taken care of. That was a son. The Son of Man, the Son of Mary. Human feelings. Take care of Mama. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. For approximately 33 years, He walked this earth. He breathed the air that we breathe. He ate the food as we eat. He drank the water as we drink water. He humbled himself and came to this earth and took upon himself the form of a servant, Paul says in Philippians. And John says, I'm writing these things and many other things so that you might increase your faith. So that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that based upon that belief, then you might have eternal life through Him. If you're here this morning and not a Christian, why not confess Jesus is the Christ this morning? If you have studied God's Word sufficiently to come to that conclusion that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, or if you studied with someone else, if you desire to repent of your sins, to have forgiveness of your sins, you can do that this morning and be baptized for the forgiveness of those sins as they are washed away in baptism, where you come in contact with the blood of Christ, His blood, shed upon the cross as a sacrifice for our sin, in whom we have redemption through Him, the forgiveness of our sins, Colossians chapter 1. This morning, if you're here as a Christian and you've fallen away from Christ, why not come back now? Why not increase your faith? Having increased your faith, come back to Him and serve Him faithfully throughout your life. If you desire prayers on your behalf, wish to rededicate your life to Christ, you have that opportunity. Whatever you need, would you come as we stand and as we sing?